The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Let's start with an astounding fact. Child pornography distribution has jumped more than 200% over the last 10 years. Enough.org recorded over 6,000 incidents just last year. Why is this? Well, because it's easy money. A single device can hold over 8,000 images. And electronic storage devices are getting smaller and easier to stash. In fact, it used to be nearly impossible to catch porn distributors in the act. But those days, luckily, are ending.
This is about using wealth, status, and secrecy to illegally exploit children.
They say every dog has its day, and those dogs have seen their last days, believe me.
He told me that he thought that middle school girls were so hot.
They also say that a dog is a man's best friend, unless you're a cyber criminal. If you're committing a cyber crime of any kind, a canine cyber sniffer dog is your worst enemy.
Face of Subway has gone from being famous for pitching sandwiches to being infamous for something much more sinister. Jared Fogle pleading guilty to child pornography charges.
This is a world-class level 3 pedophile.
I'm Kim Komando, America's most trusted digital pro, and I'm here to tell you the recent breakthroughs happening in the cybercrime canine world would amaze even the most brilliant techno geeks. You see, there's no place left to stash child pornography, pirated software, stolen data, fraud records. No place at all that an electronic device detection dog can't find. You can't flush it, you can't bury it, you can't put it in your gas tank, you can't even swallow it. And you can't escape the power of the dog's nose. You may remember when Subway spokesperson Jared Fogle was busted for hoarding child pornography. An incredible canine lab named Bear paid a visit to Jared's home and got right down to business, sniffing out 16 smartphones, 10 USB drives, and 6 laptops. Wow. I had to get in on the action, so I called Bear's trainer, and I decided that we should make a great podcast from this interview. You see, like I said, every dog has its day, and right now, this is the age of the modern-day sniffer dog. Since Jared's high-profile bust, updated training programs are being employed, and these dogs are scary good at what they do. If law enforcement smells a rat, a sniffer dog will expose it. You see, these particular dogs are learning new ways to crack down on child pornography users and distributors. Drugs, explosives, weapons, implicating clothing, and now, electronic media. It's pretty hard to believe. In this podcast, you're going to hear how detection dogs are taking a huge bite out of cyber crimes. Technology has a smell. You've probably gotten a whiff of it. Some people actually get a headache from it. There are certain chemicals used to cool down memory chips. Chemical compounds are found on DVDs, motherboards, flash drives. Your cell phone, for instance. Dogs can even smell emotion, like fear. And this is super important because law enforcement and high crime places are always on high alert. So they have to rely on their super sensitive canine counterparts to help them track dangerous people. While I'm making the podcast, this whole nation, well, we're grieving over the shooting death of 17 students and teachers killed by a gunman in Parkland, Florida. My heart goes out to all the families, the first responders, and law enforcement personnel, and of course, all the students at the high school, who will be forever scarred by this tragic event. You might remember what happened in Colorado Springs. A 34-year-old police officer was killed, and I wanted to reach out to the Colorado Springs community somehow. So I contacted one of the most experienced law enforcement and detection dog experts in the country, a gentleman by the name of Phil Stravett. Phil has been in law enforcement, protection, detection, and specialized dog training for nearly 30 years. In just the last 3 months, Colorado Springs has seen the death of not only one, but actually three law enforcement officers. And nobody's more aware of that than Phil. His job is highly specialized. His dogs don't miss a beat, so they're in high demand. He works all hours of the night and into the day to make sure that his dogs are ready for even the toughest tasks. Hey, Phil, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Kim.
So I know that you've been involved in law enforcement since 1989, but give us a rundown of what you actually do with the dogs.
So I've been training and working dogs since 1994. I opened my own business where we breed and train Dutch Shepherds and Belgian Malinois. We call our business Four Corners Canine. We're located out of the state of Colorado and just have a passion for working dogs, detection, tracking, patrol work, things of that nature.
And what about explosives? Do you work with them too?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I trained Denver County explosive dogs for them, and they're all doing really well. They perform a very needed and protective foundation just for the Denver area.
There's always at least one happy-go-lucky dog trotting around in the front of the line. They look so cute and friendly. You just want to pet them. But the sign clearly says, do not pet this animal. Why exactly is that?
You know, they're in working mode. It would be the same as if you were working on a mathematical assignment from school and somebody kept coming up to you and asking you questions and, you know, want to introduce themselves to you. They're actually there to work. Their primary function is scent detection, and that scent detection keeps us all safe as we travel.
Yeah, I understand that. I wouldn't want someone patting me on the head and interrupting me when I was actually trying to work. Now, I've talked about canines sniffing out drugs and explosives for some time. But how do you actually train a dog to locate, say, hidden computers and cell phones, software, thumb drives, videotapes? I mean, that's a pretty particular scent.
So what we do is it's all based on a game. The dog has a, as you understand, great scent ability. Their ability to smell different things, different scents, is just like if we were look at a color chart, how we can see red, blue, yellow. They can take any kind of odor in different parts of that odor they can recognize. Just real simply, when a dog comes up to you and says hi, even your own pet dog, the dog is smelling your own body odor, the soap you use, the shampoo you use, the shaving cream you use, and the perfume you have on. That's the scent picture the dog sees.
So tell us more about how the game works.
So knowing that the dog has this great ability to detect odor, all we do is we make it a game. The dog loves to chase, it loves to grab a ball or a tug, or as customs used to use, a terry cloth towel. And what we do is we marry the odor with the toy, and well, it becomes a game. The dog goes out, you throw it out in the field or, you know, in a room, and the dog uses its nose to hunt for that item. As soon as it locates the item, because it's looking for the odor, it finds its toy, interaction with the handler, positive effect.
You could say that these dogs really enjoy their work because it's something that they naturally love to do, right?
Yes. You know, Kim, there was always a misnomer back in the day where, you know, they thought they had to give the dog a drug to make the dog want to, and it had nothing to do with that. It was so far-fetched lies that was portrayed to the public. The whole thing is the dog is looking for the odor because it enjoys the toy, it enjoys the interaction with the handler.
And I guess they have to get along too, right?
There's quite a bond that happens between the dog and the handler. It's a bond that at times, you can ask any handler, he's spending more time with that dog than he probably is his own family. That dog also thrives on that bond as well. Hence, you end up coming up with a really good dog that does a great job to keep us safe.
Would you say that there are better environments to train these dogs in than others? I've been doing my research, and I know that sometimes trainers take them into sensory overloaded places that kind of confuse their senses, so that even through all the chaos and smells, they can learn to zero in on that one particular scent.
We adopted a biosensory program, and so it starts actually at day two, lasts for 2 weeks, and there's a certain things that we do with the dog to start getting them ready so that they will be able to accept the environment that we're going to have them work in, whether it be slick floors, loud noises, open steps, any of those kind of environments. We also take our dogs and we walk them through Lowe's, Home Depot, Walmart, Kmart. We get them out in the public. So they're used to experiencing all the chaos that we as humans create. So getting them ready for that environment so that they can work successfully and confidently in those environments to be able to do the task that we're asking them to do, and that's obviously locate an odor.
What's great about these podcasts is that I get to have extended interviews. And Phil was so super easy to talk to. He's such an expert. So you want to stay right where you are, because coming up, he's going to tell us two incredible stories that you definitely do not want to miss. I'm sure in all your years of training, you must have some really incredible stories. I'd love to hear one or maybe two of them if you have the time.
So worked interdiction, drug interdiction, had an opportunity to conduct a search on the vehicle, and the dog alerted to the vehicle on a couple of different areas. Detectives searched that vehicle for an extensive amount of time, and at the end of the search, they took off the intake manifold, and inside the intake manifold was 3 kilos of cocaine.
Holy Toledo, that's amazing.
You know, Kim, I gotta tell you, it was then that I really started realizing how good the dog's noses are really able to detect an odor. You know, that engine actually ran, and the dog was still able to work through all the oil smells and all the transmission smell, the road grime, and still be able to find that odor. Just what a magnificent animal.
Yeah, I'd say.
I have another story. I can tell that story.
Sure, please do tell us.
So I had an opportunity. There was a really dramatic event where a homicide occurred, and detectives and officers were out searching the area. And actually, to come to find out, the suspect was really in that area they were searching. He just kept moving. And the dog that I was working at the time was able to work through all of their odors where the people were at, and was still able to pinpoint and find that particular suspect that was responsible for that homicide. That dog was still able to detect that odor and bring me right to where the suspect was located, and we were able to take him into custody. Just bring some closure to the family that suffered from this homicide.
Wow, those are two great examples of why dogs are great at this. Humans are so easily distracted, we're swayed by emotion and sensory input. But these dogs are spot on, no pun intended.
Yes, just wonderful creatures. The dog was able to pick up the fear odor that the suspect was putting out, which is different odor than what the detectives and officers were putting out during this area search.
Did you say a fear odor?
If I can explain that to you, how that works is when mom and dad asked me when I was a young kid if I was lying about something, there would be this, you know, warm sensation I got over my body knowing that I was actually lying to my parents. That sensation that starts emitting odor from the body, a seasoned patrol dog will start picking up on that fear odor that suspect puts out as he's running from the police, as he just committed a crime. He's starting to put out that odor, and a seasoned canine will learn to pick up on that odor, and that's how they're able to work through the crowd and get to the odor that's been recognized in the past as, hey, this is what I'm going to be looking for. Just an incredible ability of the dogs to be able to learn that behavior and just bring what I would call great success to not only the program, but also the community.
Some people say the dog can tell when you're afraid, and I guess it's true.
Yes.
So let's talk about the future of all this. Dogs can sniff out cadavers, drugs, explosives, and now electronics. They're even training dogs to detect cancer in urine samples. Helper dogs can learn to detect when their owners are under stress, unstable, or even having a heart attack. So what else do you envision dogs will be able to do in the future? Do you have a vision for this?
You know, unfortunately, what our country is experiencing with these major events, explosives, I think the dog is going to have to be able to work off-lead, away from the handler, in a very, very crowded area, at least in eyesight of the handler, so that the dog can work freely without being attached.
It's scary, but I guess it's necessary for scenarios like Las Vegas, Colorado Springs, Parkland, Florida, to protect our officers. I can't imagine the kind of courage it's going to take for both the handler and the dog. But let's just say that in the future, for the sake of safety, dogs will be trained in a virtual world, like a simulation pod. Do you think that would help the dogs be more prepared to go off-leash in a crisis situation?
You know, Kim, the dogs work on specific drives that are created in them. And at the end of the day, those particular drives is what really gets the dog to do the task that you're asking it to do. They don't think like you and I do, although I know a lot of people feel that, but at the end of the day, the dogs are great at reading our body language, so at times it may look like, hey, I'm really communicating with this dog, but the dog's just really good at reading body language as well.
So virtual reality might not work because there's no real sensation or drive going on. I mean, it is a virtual world. It's not real, and the dog knows it.
Over the years, different trainers have said, well, now I have a new method, and I have a new method. But at the end of the day, they still are just working on these basic drives that the dog has, and to come up with a task and an end result so that they can get out what they're looking for the dog to do. They have specific drives that help them connect the dots. So as long as you stay within those drives, you'll be able to train the dog in a particular, you know, function that you want the dog to work.
It's hard to improve on those dog senses, even with facial recognition software, temperature recognition, and so forth. The tech world still can't match the built-in sensitivities, or I guess you'd say the accuracy, of a well-trained dog.
I'll tell you, they're amazing. You know, I've been doing this for a while, and you know, what an awesome opportunity to be able to work with these creatures and to be able to be a part of the whole process of what the industry stands for. You know, just trying to make a safer community, trying to provide dogs for handlers out there so that they're safe, so that officers are safe, so they can effectively do their job and go home to their families. And, you know, that's what it all needs to be about. It's just making a better community for the U.S.
Well, it sounds like you really love what you do. What an amazing job. Hey, and if we want to get in touch, ask more, say, doggy questions, how can we find you?
Yes, if you just search on the web for Four Corners Canine, it's all word.com. They'll have our phone number on there. Anytime you want to be able to get in touch, you can obviously leave a message, and we'll get that email as well. Sure.
Well, Phil, that's it. I appreciate you hitting the pause button in your day to take some time to speak with us. And thanks for catching us up on the cyber-sniffing canine world.
Tim, thanks for taking the time to talk with me. It was a joy talking with you today.
Now, let's meet some amazing canines. Meet Iris, a playful black lab who can detect cyber evidence through walls, car seats, wheel wells, just about anywhere. She's one of just seven dogs who've been trained in a program run by the Connecticut State Police that imprints the dogs on two specific chemicals found within electronic components. She's one of the only dogs working for the FBI. Her handler, Special Agent Jeff Calandra, told Fox 5 New York that he couldn't imagine doing his job without her.
I mean, I think she's invaluable, especially with how small digital media is and how easy it is to hide those types of devices. Every crime spans electronic media.
Meet Chase, another storage device tracker dog. Crime Tracker spoke with handler trainer Todd Jordan about why he believes cyber sniffing dogs are vital to protect the community.
But you think about every micro SD card, I mean, it has 8,000 images on it, and you have to think about that every image is a victim.
Gia belongs to the Manatee County Sheriff's Office. Cyber criminals are wasting their time coming up with new ways to stash evidence because Gia's been trained to outsmart them all. Lieutenant Dennis Cunningham told the Bradenton Herald.
Criminals will hide stuff anywhere from inside wall outlets. They'll make fake wall outlets. You can see on the internet, they buy like shaving cream cans that are fake, and you can open up the bottom and there's a hidden compartment. Gia provides that opportunity to come in and find it because she can use her nose where a human can't. We can smell pizza. Like, you walk in a room and pizza's in there, you know it's pizza. She can walk in, get a whiff, and think, that's my toy, that's the computer equipment. And all she's doing is alerting the detective to it.
Special Agent Josh Rammer in Reptar, BCI's Crimes Against Children Unit. He explains the simple but exacting process of training Reptar.
As I go and I point to a certain location, I say seek. If he hits on it, I'll say show me. Then he'll pinpoint where he is getting the exact odor from.
So many dogs, so little time. We are just about out of time, and so are the child pornography distributors, and I'm so thankful for that. It's one of the worst crimes ever. And I'm also thankful for the trainers, the handlers, the private investigators, who actually go the extra mile to make sure that law enforcement is getting the funding they need to purchase and train a scent canine. Now, if you want your own sniffer dog, you just can't go out and buy a puppy and train them. Phil told me offline that only quality bloodlines and certain age groups can be trained. More importantly, you can eliminate costly mistakes by knowing which breeds simply do not have the drive to work. Phil knows how to eliminate non-working dogs from the litter by the time they're, say, 6 months old. It takes a year sometimes for him to identify the capabilities of a working dog and then begin that process of specialization. Cyber-sniffing dogs used to be a rare breed, but watch out, they're getting super popular. These best friends have your back, and they're essential to keep your kids safe from predators. And so far, there really is no match for them in the tech world. Well, not yet anyway. Of course, I'm going to let you know if that changes. And if you want to stay up to date with all the current and latest protections, technology, medical tech, survival, investments, security, don't miss my podcasts. You can download them at commando.com/podcasts, or just get them within your favorite podcast player. And by the way, this is not the Kim Komando Show. The 3-hour weekend radio show is also available as a podcast. You can check it out over at getkim.com. Once again, that's getkim.com.